Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Be heard by calling 401-737-1287. Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. We're back to Cordishy and Coit on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Welcome back to Cordishy and Coit.
What is this, the kid?
On WEEI.
Is this the kids' bop version of Blurred Lines?
It does sound a bit kids'
bop. Yeah, right? It's got like the little tambourine and the... like xylophone or whatever. Yeah, like. Sounds like what you use, like a keyboard, if you're like playing it on a keyboard that's got all the noises and whatnot. Oh, boy.
Welcome back to Cordishy and Coit and WEEI. So the Patriots defense, we talked about it for a segment. I mean, they are playing great, right? As well, not better than any defensive unit in the National Football League. And, you know, they have been a lot more aggressive this year than they normally have been under Bill Belichick. For years, it was keep the play in front of you, bend but don't break, don't give up the big play over the top. This year, they have been much more aggressive in bringing extra guys, blitzing, getting after the quarterback, tackles for a loss, sacks, etc. And I think a lot of it has to do with, number one, they have such good players in the secondary that they're playing a lot more man coverage. I think they're playing either the most or second most man coverage of any team in the National Football League through the first 4 weeks. Part of me wonders, is their decision to be a more aggressive defense? Because I've been saying this for years. I wish Belichick would be more aggressive. You know, like Pete Carroll when he had those good Seattle defenses. I wish he'd dial up blitzes more, be more aggressive, play more man coverage. Is he doing that because he truly feels like, okay, now I finally have the talent to do that? Or is he doing it because, well, I'll show everybody. Now I'm calling the shots on defense.
No, you know what? You know who I think helped with that? Because we saw this change in philosophy a little bit, I think, last year. I would say that I think Brian Flores helped change his thinking on this. I do. And I'm sure Jerod Mayo, you know, is okay with it too, like being aggressive, and, you know, and maybe even his son Steve. Like, I think we saw this change of philosophy when Matt Patricia left, and that's not a knock on Matt Patricia, but I think Patricia was maybe more the thought style of Belichick in terms of defense and whatnot. But part of it's probably personnel too, because you have guys that you can be creative with, and I think you needed to be creative. You know, when Brian Flores had certain guys in there, you know, you don't have, like, besides maybe Michael Bennett, who really hasn't played a ton. He only played like 30% of the snaps last week, and he's been dealing with a shoulder issue. You don't have, like, elite pass rushers in there. So what do? I think you do have guys that you could consider elite linebackers or who are playing at an elite level right now in Van Noy and Collins. I don't know, maybe you looked to the personnel, and maybe that's what Brian Flores said and said, hey, we can be more aggressive with these guys. We can create pressure in different ways. You know, we can send the linebackers on a blitz. We can bring a guy like Patrick Chung and send him on a blitz. They've done that a lot. So, I don't know, maybe it's I think it's personnel. I think Brian Flores helped with that. And I think maybe Belichick looked at it and said, okay, this is interesting. I can do that with these guys and not risk too much, because I have what I have in the secondary, and Stephon Gilmore is playing. He's a lockdown, shutdown corner right now.
Before we get to the calls, a couple of texts I just want to get to here. From the 508, why do they need to be unpredictable during the first seven games of the year when they should be 7-0? Fair point.
Yeah, sure.
Very weak schedule to start the season. When you look at these next three games, at the Redskins, home against the Giants, at the Jets, I mean, they're going to be heavily favored in all three games.
Yeah, but I think you want to go out there and you want to figure out different ways to score points, because you're going to get Edelman healthy, you're going to get Josh Gordon healthy, and, you know, certain guys are going to step up and step into their roles, and you're going to score in ways that probably you scored before. But if you can get more creative, if you can find different ways to score, because, yeah, you've had injuries and you've had issues, you also don't have Rob Gronkowski. You don't. That's a big thing. It's a big thing. I know he didn't have a great offensive year in his final season, but he's not there. That's the thing. His presence is not there. So you have to go out and find different ways to put points on the board. And so even this is the perfect opportunity to do it against a Redskins team who doesn't know who the heck their quarterback is until Friday. And Colt McCoy now, it is the starting quarterback. The Giants, who just put a rookie in there and may not have Saquon Barkley for that Thursday night game. And the Jets, whose quarterback still has mono. So, you know, I think this is a perfect opportunity to do that.
That seventh game against the Jets will be more competitive because they'll have Darnold back, you would think.
I mean,
you've got Le'Veon Bell, and it's at the Jets.
Yep.
So it should be more competitive. But after the first seven games, they have a six-game stretch that is by far their toughest of the season.
Brutal.
The Browns, the Ravens, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Texans, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And that's where they're going to have to, you know, make their hay. That's where we're going to find out what they're made about, are made of. A couple of other texts. Scott, I agree with you on the Brady calf injury. Didn't Durant at Golden State have a calf injury that led to an Achilles injury? Yes.
Ooh.
I'm not suggesting that Tom Brady is going to pop his Achilles.
Right.
When I hear calf injury with a 42-year-old guy, it concerns me.
Sure.
That's the first thing that goes into my mind. It's the Achilles. And this one from the 401. What was with Belichick and his air piano during the Bills game? That was awesome, wasn't it?
Have you seen some of those gifts? My favorite was the one where they dubbed over 1,000 miles. And it's just him going back and forth. I'm like, oh, this is gold. And you knew it. Like, that's one of those things you're watching on TV, and right on the spot you go,
yep.
Oh, I have to check Twitter later for this. This is going to be memed over and over again. You know, oh, it was great. No, it's just a defensive signal, whatever it is. And I'm sure it's easy for the defense to remember because they've probably seen him do it before. And, you know, a guy like Kyle Van Noy is like, Bill, you look like you're Billy Joel, man. Like, that's it's easy to remember when you do things like that.
All right, let's go to the calls. 401-737-1287, the phone number. Again, our text line remains open at 37937. Let's say hello to Dan in Cranston. Good morning, Dan. You're first up with Cordishy and Coit on WEEI.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Dan?
What's up, Dan?
Well, I didn't want to waste my mental energy talking about this, but who do you think BB would rather be coaching now?
I think Dan, that's an obvious answer. I think we know that he wanted to keep Garoppolo, but he doesn't have him. So,
but this is part of the reason. It wasn't always just about, you know, how you can play. I mean, talk about crappy receiver sets. You got for a top three, you got Edelman, Gordon, and Dorsett. Well, you have Deebo Samuel, Dante Pettis, and Marquise Goodwin. Who are you taking?
When they're all healthy, all things equal?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
It's even a question?
Well, yeah, I think so. Absolutely.
No, I mean, the other guys...
Got to factor in Kittle.
Kittle is good, but I'm just saying, if we're talking wide receivers, I mean, you're talking guys who are in their first or second year. Goodwin's older,
right.
Obviously, but...
Right.
You just got a guy who's willing to work with younger receivers.
Sure.
You know, I think that... I mean, hey, but... And I'm not even giving, this isn't even to Tom's fault, because he's at a point of his career where he doesn't want to deal with this. I get it, you know?
But
that, go ahead.
No, but it's part of his job,
I agree. You can't excuse him for not.
Yeah.
I think he's been throwing too much shade at the younger guys, and it's not fair. It's not right. He needs to
part of his job.
He needs to shut up and start helping those guys get better so they can be more bigger contributors to the team.
It's stubborn. You know, it's
he's 42. He's not going to see these guys in their third or fourth year, and I get his motivation.
Doesn't matter. He needs him now, Dan. That's the point. He needs him now.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's so funny how after the Steelers game, I mean, we're talking about, you know, being with Brown, it was nobody really thought he was going to be on the team. I mean, everybody talked about it like this was like going to be a thing. They did him a huge favor by bringing him in to begin with. You know, I mean,
right.
He wasn't supposed to be part of the team from camp.
That's right.
Granted, it didn't work out. I get it. But there's this narrative saying, like, oh, he was always here and he was always going to be part of the equation. No. I mean, I was one of the ones that said they didn't need Brown. A lot of people said they didn't need Brown after they crushed the Steelers. Right?
Right.
No. It's just one of those things that, unfortunately, it's part of the narrative of what Tom is now. I mean, talking about playing him or... what his attitude is. I mean, part of the reason I think Belichick didn't want to have him around as much was not his disability, but his unwillingness to do the camps and early April or May, and then what he's doing now.
Right, but I think they've accepted it. I do. I think their working relationship, you know, I think it was obviously very healthy last year. I think with Brady, too, you know, something that just popped into my head, like, I wish he would look at the example of he got a younger receiver involved a couple of years ago, and it paid off when he did. Malcolm Mitchell was a huge, huge part of that comeback in Super Bowl 51. They got him involved late in the season, and once Brady looked at it and said, oh, I can trust this kid, he was unbelievable in the late drives in the fourth quarter and overtime. It was him and Chris Hogan. It was outside the numbers. That's where he was throwing the ball to get those first downs. Even on third down, he would trust the kid. Like, I wish Tom would look at that and say, like, okay, if you just work a little bit with Jacoby Myers, can he do those sorts of things for you? Can he pick up those third downs that you need to get picked up right now, especially when Edelman and Gordon are hurt? Like, that to me is the perfect example of getting somebody involved.
I think the biggest thing about the passing game in general is the fact that they can't run the ball right now.
That also hurts.
That's really the biggest problem because, you know, I mean, Christ, remember when they were 11-5 last year towards the end of the year, the wide receiver set sucked. You still had Gronk, but he was more of a blocking guy at that point, and he was more on the plus, but they didn't really have any wide receivers last year, but they were running the ball, and they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like they need this high-flying offense. The wide receiver set, they probably would, if Gordon sticks around, is better than what they had last year.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just one of those things, like, we're talking about undefeated. You talk about undefeated, and then, you know, they look crappy against Buffalo, and everyone's saying, Jesus, you know, the world's going to end. I mean, to me, it's kind of funny this week. It sounds like it's the most, we're 0-4 instead of 4-0. You know, it's just the week-to-week narrative, but the schedule stinks. The AFC stinks. It's basically just going to come down to the Chiefs and the Patriots. I don't think there's anybody else even in the equation. And where that game is probably going to dictate who goes to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the same story as last year. So, I don't know. Well, have a good weekend, guys.
You
I'm looking forward to Monday night. Monday night is...
Niners and what? Who are they playing?
Browns, right?
That's right.
It's tough to be the fan of a team, like, anywhere, but when it's not your hometown, you don't get to see them as much. So you kind of get more jacked up for it.
Hey, you know what? You know what, Dan?
You just said a fan of a team. You're not a fan of the 49ers. You're a fan of one guy.
Well, it comes with the territory, doesn't it? I have a San Fran hat on my head right now for a reason.
Yeah, but exactly. You didn't buy it because you love the 49ers and have all your life. It's because of one guy. And if that guy was, you know, with the Jacksonville Jaguars, you'd have a Jaguar hat on him right now.
No, I'd have a Patriots hat on because that's where the Christ he should be.
Hey, Dan, it's okay. Yep. You'll get to watch him. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, doesn't it?
Yes, and I'm telling you right now, a year or two from now, people are going to regret it more than ever.
Oh.
I'm telling you, man, it's happening.
Dan,
have a good day,
Jimmy.
Guys. I'm going to go watch my Jimmy G tape now.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
okay.
Dan.
As an actual Niner fan without an agenda, I'm excited to be producing that game Monday night.
You know what? Yeah. I'm looking forward to that game Monday night, too. I mean, you got two of the supposed better young quarterbacks in the National Football League squaring off. We'll see what Jimmy G's made of. Baker Mayfield, they had a good win last week on the road at Baltimore. A lot of people were down on the Browns, myself included, and they went to Baltimore and took it to the Ravens.
Yeah, and the Niners are surprisingly very quietly, they've got a good record going so far. It's interesting. And the Seahawks, too, watch out for them in the NFC. The NFC has a lot of teams and players that are like, okay, this could be something. You know,
how about the Rams struggling, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Happens a lot to Super Bowl losers, more than people realize. The Patriots are one of the few teams that have lost Super Bowls and come back strong the next year. A lot of teams that lose the Super Bowl struggled that next season.
Well, there's a lot of talent on that Rams defense. They gave up 50-something points to the Bucks.
Their last two games.
Jameis?
Yeah, they've gotten lit up by the Seahawks and the Buccaneers at home.
Yikes.
From the 401, I thought Dan accepted losing Garoppolo when the Patriots won another Super Bowl. He needs some serious psych counseling.
Yeah, no, he's got to go see the love doctor, the poor guy.
And from the 774, tools you Bruins. I think he meant Bruins
you tools. Yeah, we could talk some Bruins. We got some time on the show.
Yeah, we could do that. Let's say hello to Joe in Pawtucket, who's with us. Good morning, Joe. You're next on Cordishian Coit and WEEI.
Good morning, Mr. Kodeshi. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hi, Joe.
Good, Joe. What's up?
Not much. What are your thoughts about the Patriots game? The players are all banged up. I heard you talking about it earlier. I think their best bet is the short slant passes with a good running game. Have whoever can find to block the big guys on the tight end besides Noah Gronkowski. Just go with the running game and short slant passes. And I told my mother last week in the car on the way home.
Joe, what's going on with your phone? We're getting like these like bleeps. Like,
I know. I think he's scratching records.
Blowing
like
our ears out.
I know.
Oh, can you hear better now?
Better, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I told my mom that the Patriots last week weren't going to score more than 24 points against Buffalo because they were nicked up, and Buffalo has a good defense.
Oh.
And they played tough. They played tough at Buffalo against the Patriots. So, what are your thoughts about that?
No, I think you were on hit the nail on the head there, Joe. I think Buffalo's defense is good. They're good. If they had a quarterback up there, then they might have won that game. You know, and Josh Allen is meh. He's just meh. You know, and a lot was made about the hit with Jonathan Jones and whatnot. And I don't want to get too much into it.
I was actually more worried when he went out and Barkley came in. I'm like, oh boy, because I mean,
honestly,
with Josh Allen in the game, I knew the Patriots were winning.
So one of our producers at the station said to me, she was watching the game, and she said, didn't it seem weird that she said I said to my boyfriend that I thought that the Bills looked better when the other guy came in, when Matt Barkley came in. She said, am I wrong about that? I said, nope, you're not wrong at all. No, because he's not trying to do all this stuff with his feet, whatever. He's more of a pocket passer, you know, and it was quick. It was immediate. It was, you know, get 7-8 yards on each play. Like, they were moving the ball. It I don't know, Josh Allen, maybe he's got to do more of that, you know, and he's got to have better decision-making, too. Brian Daboll was cussing him out on the sideline because some of the throws he's making, like, don't make that throw because the Patriots are going to eat it alive.
Barkley had a better quarterback rating than Brady did.
Oh, wow. I'm not surprised the way he played, you know. Can help them.
And as far as this week, Joe, I mean, you know, Washington's not good. They're probably one step ahead of the Miami Dolphins. They're one of the worst teams in the National Football League. Despite the Patriots' problems, they should go to Washington and win this game with relative ease tomorrow.
What's the thing that I'm blanking on the word that they use to resuscitate you if your heart stops or something like that?
The paddles.
Defibrillator.
Defibrillator.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I felt like was just happening with whatever was going on with Joe's phone. Like, I felt like my heart was like, right.
Like, it was weird.
Claire.
Yeah.
Joe's on the line. Claire.
I was like blown.
I thought he was
out.
Stuck in the quantum realm with Ant-Man.
Wow, that a boy, Joe.
All right, why don't we take a break?
Yeah.
And when we come back, did you want to talk a little Bruins?
We can talk a little Bruins.
We can mention the Bruins and won their season opener.
They did.
Good for them. We can talk about them.
Okay.
What's next for the Red Sox?
Yeah, that's a good one to
bring up. We can maybe talk about that as well. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. You're listening to Cordishy and Coit on W.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.